Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. All right, so obviously this week's biggest story is the 2022 midterm election and how the red tsunami didn't happen. Now, we can go off and we could talk about the potential of election fraud taking place in the 2022 midterms, but we don't know what the extent of election fraud was. Now, despite efforts to increase election integrity, you're not going to be able to capture everything. And efforts to try and capture election fraud was struck down by the courts. So we don't know the extent of the election fraud in 2022. I mean, we could try and suspect that, hey, if you have 70% of the people saying we're on the wrong track and everything is crap, and then the Democrats suffer hardly any losses, you know, just barely flipping the House, barely flipping the Senate, potentially. Well, we can be suspicious, but we don't have all of the evidence, mainly because the Democrats have got to the point where they can operate the election in mostly secrecy. And having organizations that have tried to say that the 2020 election was the most secure in history coming out and trying to tell us, oh, 2022, there was no evidence of compromised voting machine, as CISA director said, doesn't exactly fill me up with a lot of confidence. But since we are unable to go off and show, you know, evidence of election fraud, we're not going to go off on a long tangent about it. We can suspect all we want, but all efforts to collect the evidence was blocked. Now, we can say, hey, you know, why is it in some areas it's taken days, weeks, or even projected to take a couple of months in order to get the election results, and point out that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we were able to get election results on the same night. We can question it, although the media is trying to tell us we're not allowed to question. But we need to address some of the bigger issues. Well, I mean, election fraud is a huge issue, but if we're not in a position to be able to do anything about it, we can rant and rave about it all we want, but the only way to solve election fraud is to go through and have our elected leaders pass legislation that would curtail election fraud. And wherever Democrats are in control, you're never going to get such legislation passed. In fact, you're going to get the opposite. You're going to get election integrity measures weakened and fraud more easily pulled off and being able to conduct the election in secrecy. But when it comes to the, it's going to take days, weeks, or a couple of months to count the election, I take a look at what the Democrats did there, you know, pre-wiring the narrative, basically saying, hey, if you see these things going on and it looks suspicious, don't worry about it. It's normal. There's nothing to see here. Move along, move along. And it's basically like a modified tactic that salesmen use in order to get past buyer's remorse, where they tell the people making large purchases, hey, you know, you just made a large purchase. It's normal that you're excited, but when you start calming down, you're going to start questioning yourself. Don't worry about it. That's normal. Just roll back over and go back to sleep. And in study after study, they had seen that by pre-wiring buyer's remorse as being normal and as something to ignore, they cut down on buyer's remorse and returns of large purchase items by over 50%. And so we see the Democrats were out there taking a look at, okay, here's the indications of election fraud. Let's just tell people it's normal. They can expect it. So when they actually see it, you know, or see indications of it, don't question it. We've already let you know that this is going to be seen and it's normal. Nothing to take a look at. Move along. And it works for a large segment of the population. And we got to take a look at why. But as we go through in this episode, I'm going to take a look at six or seven things that are going on that we need to address if we're ever to get back free and fair elections, but if we're ever to really take back big majorities going forward so that we can solve the problems and fix the damage that the Democrats have caused. Now, one thing that we could take a look at is securing the primaries. Earlier this year, we saw that the Democrats were engaged in election engineering, didn't wait until the general election. They started off in the primaries as they were changing their voter registration to Republican so that they could vote in the Republican primaries and therefore choose the Republican candidate that their Democrats would face off against. The Democrats would go off, try to find the weakest candidate in the primaries, and try to push them up over the top into the general election. Now, when I say the weakest Republican candidates, I don't mean weak in terms of policy. You know, the Republicans, when it comes to policies, ideas, solutions, the weakest candidate in the Republican field is far superior than the Democrat candidate. I'm talking about the one who that the Democrats target were the ones who were least able to counteract Democrat propaganda, that were least able to counteract the media's propaganda attacks, fake news, the messaging and narrative of the Democrat Party. You know, those who were not necessarily the best articulators of conservative ideas and ability to combat the Democrat machine. So we do need to secure the primaries. Now, I know a lot of people are wanting to go off and, you know, probably want to talk a lot about election fraud and trying to figure out how is it 70% of the people could say everything's crap, we're in the wrong direction. How is it that we could have, you know, an economic disaster? We're under invasion by a legal border crossing and everyone is suffering, and yet, despite 70% agreement that the Democrats' policies are a failure, the Democrats barely suffer for it, that the Republicans are barely pulling out a win. Yeah, it seems suspicious. And I wish I could come on here and point out, here's all the election fraud that we witnessed. But considering that the courts pretty much blocked with injunctions any effort to capture election fraud, we're not able to go off and point out this is what they did, this is what they did, this is what they did. And we, as far as talking about election fraud, as I had stated, we're not going to be able to do anything about election fraud when the Democrats are in control of the legislature and governorship in the areas where election fraud takes place. They're not going to do anything to secure the election because they depend on fraud to get elected. So, without further ado, I'm going to go through here and take a look at the things that we need to recognize as a problem and how to combat the problem. And each of these goes under the overarching theme that there is a large segment of the population, whether you want to call them low information voters or whatever, that are so indoctrinated, so pumped full of propaganda, stuck in an information bubble that no amount of facts, data, and evidence is ever going to get through to them at this point in time, not unless we are able to destroy the Democrats' propaganda and information censorship machine. Now, you can go off and try to point things out, you know, as far as here's where the problem is, here's what the Democrats did to cause the problem. But if the people are not able to grasp it, if the message is not getting to them, it's not going to matter. And if the people are so classically trained, you know, and I'm talking about classical conditioning, which is a form of manipulation and brainwashing technique, that they are not able to think for themselves, then having the best ideas or pointing out everything the Democrats have done is not going to work because it's not going to be able to penetrate to anybody. And so we need to solve that problem. And I would say that there's about 40, 45% of the population, you know, Democrat voters that are so brainwashed that we need to counteract the brainwashing and get them to start thinking for themselves. And that's where this 6 point comes from that particular perspective, that as big of a problem as election fraud is, the bigger problem is low information, basically brainwashed voter base, where you only have about 4-5% of the population of independents capable of thinking for themselves, and then the other 45%, Republican. So I guess, correct the math here. You only have about 55% of the population capable of thinking for themselves, and 45% of the population that is basically trained to accept whatever it is they are told to believe without question. All right, so let's get into these 6 points. Now, the first thing that we need to target is the youth vote. Look, we all know that the Democrats have turned the school system into indoctrination camps. They lower education standards such as reading comprehension and math. That way, the youth vote won't be able to analyze what the Democrats are doing and what the full effect is. But it's also the school system being able to have the first 18 years, 24 years if they go to college, of subjecting the students to ideological subversion, or a more layman's term, brainwashing, where they fill them with unchallenged propaganda and political narratives. So what do we do to combat that? I mean, yes, we can go through and expose it. We can show up at school board meetings, but as we have seen, that doesn't produce results. The school board just basically ignores parents. And the moment parents start exposing what the schools do, what does the school board do? They shut down the meeting, cut off the feeds, and run away and hide to try and prevent information from getting out to the public. So what can we do to effectively stop the Democrats from using the public education system as indoctrination camps? Well, this is going to involve us getting more involved in what's going on at school, or putting more effort into combating it. So the first thing that we need to do is make sure that we are having clear conversations with our kids, not just on, correcting propaganda, but also just going off and having conversations with our kids to find out what it is they're being told in the schools. Now, this may be somewhat challenging if the school system, as is the case in some areas, are teaching kids to lie to their parents, to hide stuff from their parents. So you need to be going off from the get-go, before your kids ever even start in school. And I get it, if your kids are already in school, it's too late to start the process early, but to set up, with the kids that they need to tell you, and that if anyone at the school is telling you to lie to the parents, that you need to tell that kid to tell them what the teachers are saying, not to tell the parents. Another thing that we need to go off is have the kids write down the ISBN numbers of their textbooks. Now, if they can bring their textbooks home, that would be preferable. But in some scenarios, depending on the grade level, the teachers may not allow the kids to take the textbooks home. So if you can have your kid write down the ISBN number, and then you can go through and find a used copy on eBay or something, and then you would be able to examine what is in there. Now, I'm setting this up for how to gather information, and then I'll tell you what to do to combat it. Then you need to start getting a list of the books in the library. Now, I understand that the schools, when you file for the FOIA request, are going to come up with a big BS astronomical number, of what it would cost to get a list of all the books they have in the library. And we'll address that here in a moment. Then we also need to make sure that the kids are bringing their homework home. Now, when it comes down to it, what happens if the school prevents the kids from bringing their homework home? Well, you go to the school and you go to get it. You have a right to know what they are teaching your kids. You scan the textbooks. If they're not able to bring it home, you get a used copy, look up the ISBN number, and you start scanning the textbook for propaganda, critical race theory, bull crap, things that you'll need to correct, but also that you'll need to take action on. And then you get the copies of what's in the library, a list. Now, if they give you problems about what's in the library, getting that list, trying to charge you thousands of dollars and claiming there's man hours, Take them to court. In fact, you should be taking the school to court on a lot of things. Take them to court and point out that they are deliberately trying to defy FOIA requests by putting in a bunch of trumped up charges that they are going through. And you can point out that, hey, all the books in their library are already in a database. They don't need hundreds of hours of man hours or whatever to go through and write down a list of all the books. If you go to the school library, every book has a barcode in it. The schools just scan that barcode and it pulls it up in their database. It's already, all the information is already put together. All they need to do is print it off. And all you should have to cover for getting a list of everything in the library is the cost of printing off the database list of everything in there. If they try to go through and put in, thousands of dollars worth of charges claiming all these man hours to put together this list, the first thing you should do is take them to court for trying to violate the FOIA request with a bunch of bogus charges to make it in an attempt to make it cost prohibitive to you. Right? And you can point out that the entire library is in the database and that they curated the books that are in there to begin with. So the moment they purchase the book, they have the purchase order, they enter it into their database, they give it the barcode for it to pull up in their database. They have it, the Dewey Decimal System on there. They have it all. It's already put together, right? Then as you review the textbooks, if it's including things such as critical race theory into the narrative, or basically trying to blame all the problems on white people, take them to court. Sue the heck out of the court for discrimination, for violating anti-racism laws. You're going to have to go through and take the school to court repeatedly. Now, this is maybe in some respect borrowing a tactic from the left, whereby they would file frivolous lawsuits. Now, I'm not talking about frivolous, but where they would file lawsuits on everything to make the lawsuit the punishment, even though they knew they were going to lose. Now, for us, we know that what the schools are doing are violating, anti-discrimination laws, and that they are trying to violate FOIA request laws by overinflating the price of everything. Take them to court. Sue the shit out of those school systems that are engaged in political indoctrination. Then, and having discussions with your kids, figuring out what's going on in school. If you see that the school, which is funded by public taxpayer dollars, is forcing kids to participate in political activities that would basically have them doing things that they disagree with, violating the kids' First Amendment rights, sue the school for it. When you see schools going around and parading the kids in the hallway and, celebrating, Gay Pride Month, that is a political activity. That is forced political activity. That is a violation of the kids' First Amendment. Now, they could try and say that, kids, they have the right to not participate, and they think that gets around it. But do they really have that right not to participate? Is there any consequences for not participating? Do those who do participate in those forced political activities get special treatment and bonuses? Right? And furthermore, the school is being used to promote a political ideology and only going forth and celebrating or promoting or engaging in activities that only support one side's political narrative and agenda, but denies the opponents. Basically, it only supports Democrat political narratives, but not Republicans. Well, that is a violation of the First Amendment. That is discrimination. If they go off and they will march kids around for Gay Pride Month, but then block, deny, and even try to say, something is horrible that the Republicans want to do to have equal access, that is discrimination. And forced participation are using taxpayer dollars during regular school hour days to put kids into political activism is a misappropriation of funds. These funds are there for education, not for forced political activity. And you're also going to need to go through and get copies of their homework. If the schools refuse to provide you copies of their homework assignments, then sue them for interfering with your parental rights. You need to be suing the schools all over the place. And then, as far as candidates go, candidates need to make sure that the schools know that they will be held accountable. So when Republicans are running for office, let them know that they will be held accountable if they engage in child grooming activities, if they engage in violating a student's First Amendment rights, if they are misappropriating funds designated for education for political, partisan political activities, that they will be held criminally liable. If they have child pornography in their libraries, they will be prosecuted. Make sure that they know that there will be consequences for their actions in the public schools, right? So that is one thing. And also, you know, and you'll hear this as a repeated narrative here, but also make sure that, hey, there are rewards for whistleblowers that are, you know, that will expose the public schools for their discrimination, for their acts of illegal activity. You know, misappropriation of funds, violating the Constitution, and so forth. You know, that there will be, and I would say monetary rewards. And you'll see that a large part of what it is that I'm going to be taking a look at is, hey, we may have to be willing to spend taxpayer dollars on financial incentives for whistleblowers to expose the criminal corruption going on. All right. Then we also have to target the nonstop fake news and propaganda. So you'll notice that in every election cycle, Democrats will go off all, you know, claiming to be journalists and engaging in pure propaganda. And one of their favorite propaganda tactics to shut down debate is to call someone racist, sexist, homophobe, xenophobe. You know, take your words that end in ist and phobe. Now, I know there's a bit of a First Amendment issue in trying to go through and direct, hey, you can no longer do that. But you also have to recognize that what the media is doing is engaging in slander and libel. They are knowingly and willfully putting out false information about a candidate, slandering them in order to try and win elections. So how would we go about getting around that, especially when you have the First Amendment? Well, make sure that the media knows that if they want to engage in that activity, that upon being elected, you know, the Republicans are going to strip the media of any and all special legal protection. So if they want to go off and slander people baselessly, then those people will have a right to sue the shit out of the media. Now you're saying, oh, well, they have a right now. Except for the laws are set up to make it almost impossible to sue the media, right? There's the whole, well, if you're a public figure, well, what if you're only a public figure because the media decides to make you one, but you weren't before the media decided to go off and put, you know, and target you, right? So we're going to lower the standards for filing a lawsuit. We're going to take away the media's legal protection. Hey, if you want to call someone racist and you do not have anything that they have done that meets any legal or any other definition of racism, but you're just saying it because you just don't like their policy and you have no argument, then they should be sued. And I would say there should be no caps on how much they could be sued for. And that is one way to address it. And then provide monetary rewards for whistleblowers, showing that, you know, they are intentionally slandering people baselessly without any cause. I mean, we can go off on this, but basically it's going to let the media know that their special legal protection against lawsuits because they're so-called journalists is going to be gone. It's out the door. And to furthermore, when you take a look at their slander and propaganda that they go through, not only are we going to go through and take away their legal protection, but we're also going to go off and take a look at it as campaign finance violations. If the media is no longer acting like journalists, but acting as an extension of the Democrat Party, well, there are issues in campaign finance about in-kind donation. And that's what the media is basically engaged in, and letting them know that they will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That if they report anything that turns out not to be true, that they can be sued for it. You know, we got to make sure that the media starts becoming too afraid to engage in their propaganda, their slander, their libel, and that they're not, you know, using their position to provide illegal in-kind contributions. Same thing with the so-called fact checkers. When you go off and you take a look at the fact checkers, whenever they go off and they do a fact check, and the fact check is just pure BS, then not only could they be held liable for any slander that they engaged in, but they could also be prosecuted or have charges brought on against them for consumer fraud, claiming to be something that they are not. And anytime they run a story and call it a fact check that engages in slander and libel, sue them for it. Yes, we're going to have to start filing a lot of lawsuits. And when it comes to internet censorship, right? Well, first off, we'll let the tech companies know, you know, whether it's Facebook or whatever, know that if they're using fact checkers to editorialize what people post, then they become just as liable legally for any false information from those fact checkers. Furthermore, as far as, you know, Facebook and Google goes, if they engage or continue to engage in censorship, suppressing information and news, they will be prosecuted for in-kind contributions, you know, violating campaign finance laws, but also they will have their legal protection. This is what we should be running on. They should have their legal protection or immunity from slander and libel lawsuits immediately revoked. If they want to act like a publisher, then treat them like a publisher, including all the legal liabilities, and that those legal liabilities will be retroactively enforced. So they have to choose. Are they a platform or a publisher? If they claim to be a platform and act like a publisher, they will be prosecuted for consumer fraud, because they're going out there claiming to be a platform to get people to sign up, and then those people pay for access with their data that the companies then use to make billions of dollars of profit, in the case of Facebook, selling that data to advertisers. Well, that is felony fraud right there. Let them know that they'll be prosecuted for that. Let them know that they will lose all of their protection from libel and slander lawsuits. You see, the reason why things have gotten so bad is because the left has never had to suffer any consequences for their action. That no matter what law they violate, no matter what norm they violate, no matter what they do, there are zero consequences. They act with impunity. They act without any concern because they have gotten to the point where they are above the law. It doesn't apply to them. But making sure they realize that the law will apply to them, that there will be severe legal consequences for their actions, and putting out monetary rewards for whistleblowers exposing their corruption can vastly disrupt the Democrats' propaganda and indoctrination machine. You know, because maybe they're not so confident that they will be able to win, that they will be able to engage in election engineering, that they won't be able to escape accountability. And the moment they realize that they could be facing jail time for criminal activity, or that they can be sued into the ground, into bankruptcy for their activities, well, that may be enough to change the actions and being able to go through from the very beginning of the campaign, pointing this out and being able to provide for financial monetary reward, letting them know that, hey, everyone that you count on in order to engage in these activities could potentially betray you for a lump sum payout. Now, will we be able to provide enough money? I mean, in the media, you know, $1 million payout tax free isn't going to be enough of a financial incentive. But there could be, in a lot of other cases, where, you know, $500,000, $1 million tax free money might be enough and to encourage a lot of whistleblowers. That could mean a lot of financial consequences for bad actors. Now, when it comes to government officials, the FBI, which has become massively corrupt, along with other government agencies, let it be known from the very beginning of the campaign, hey, you know, you, the FBI or whatever agency, you want to engage in political corruption? You want to target political opponents in order to try and influence the outcome of an election? You want to start fake investigations and so forth? Well, there will be consequences for that, right? And so let them know that they will be prosecuted for any and all crimes that they commit. And if they go off and they're coordinating with Facebook and basically trying to turn social media platforms into a middleman for the government to silence political opposition, that will be punished as well. And we can go off and talk about how they will not only be fired, but they will be prosecuted for corruption and abuse of power to the fullest extent of the law, up to and including treason. But to further stamp this point is that right there from the get-go, the very beginning of the election cycle, let the federal agents know, because we always hear that the rank and file are good people, that it's just the leadership that is corrupt to the core. Fine. We'll make sure that the rank and file, along with the leadership, knows from the very beginning that any whistleblower that comes forward, so after the election, should the Republicans win, and there's no reason why they shouldn't in a free and fair election, but as the Republicans win, if the leadership of the FBI is engaged in corruption, abuse of power, and engaged in illegal activity and behavior, and they're doing so for partisan political reasons, then the rank and file who gathers up the evidence of the corruption of the leadership and blows the whistle as the Republicans take power, what should happen? Well, not only should the corrupt leadership be fired and be prosecuted, but the whistleblower should be rewarded a nice big bonus. And the one who collects the most amount of evidence of corruption and illegal activity within that political or within that government agency should get the job of the people who were fired. You know, you want to become the next director of the FBI? Then go off and, you know, as a whistleblower, provide all the evidence of all the illegal and criminal conduct of the FBI director and so forth, all the way down the management chain. And that should be pretty good incentive right there, as long as the rank and file really are good people, or at least, you know, have any motivation or intentions of wanting a big bonus and a promotion. And if you can show the coordination with the Department of Justice or whistleblowers in the Department of Justice exposing the corruption of the Attorney General and those in leadership, that's how we can disrupt the use of government agencies to target political opponents. Let them know, hey, you know, if you're going to do that, if you don't succeed, not only will you end up being fired, you'll be criminally prosecuted, and everybody below you that you need in order to carry out your illegal activities, your total corruption to target political opponents, well, every one of them will be set or incentivized to betray your trust for a big bonus and to be the one promoted to your job after you're fired. So you can see here, as we go through and we take a look at the overall plan is we take a look at everything that the Democrats do, from the school system to the news media to social media, tech companies to government agencies. We have to disrupt their ability to coordinate or trust the people that they need to pull off their corruption. You know, everybody is a potential whistleblower with huge financial incentives to do so, and that there are going to be severe, severe consequences for engaging in such illicit behavior. All right. Now, outside of those groups, you know, the school, the media, government agency, fact checkers, tech companies, and so forth, we also need to make sure that we are going after businesses. So businesses such as banks, financial institutions, payment processors that want to go off and deplatform or block payments for not illegal activities, but for political activities, just because they disagree. You know, should PayPal be able to go off and say, hey, you know, if we don't agree with what you say, we're going to label it misinformation and charge you $2,500? No, they shouldn't be able to do that. And in attempting to do that, they should lose any and all legal ability to be a payment processor. As a payment processor, the only consideration is the purchase that is taking place legal or illegal? Is the activity in which the person is collecting money from legal or illegal? That's the only consideration. Everything else, as far as trying to dictate that you can only accept payments so long as they agree with you politically, no. And that's going out the door. And the idea that banks can cancel your bank account and say, hey, you need to find another financial institution just because they don't like your exercising of the First Amendment, no. We're going to need to pass legislation that, you know, definitely criminalizes that on the banking front, you know, along with, you know, severe prison time for any banks that engage in that. We can't have a system where the Democrats are able to defund their political opponents by canceling their bank accounts and payment processing services, right? And furthermore, when we start getting outside of, you know, the businesses, which, by the way, a lot of the businesses, when they start talking about, you know, and at least on the financial institution side, or whether it's a business that's engaging in any political activity, the political activities as far as what a business does and doesn't support are, you know, should be considered in-kind contributions. Because I would go through, you know, and I would take this all the way to the Supreme Court, that businesses do not have, you know, constitutional rights. They're not considered people, and that they should be barred from engaging in political activities, right? Because with a business engaging in political activity, it means those at the top of those businesses, well, they have more of a voice than everybody else. They get a voice as, you know, the business, a voice as an individual, and then they get a voice as a pack. You know, they get three voices per person, and that is definitely not fair. And businesses should not be able to basically say that your access to products and services is based off of your political allegiance. So I would take all the way to the Supreme Court to eliminate businesses being able to engage in political activity, and definitely criminalize with a minimum of 10 years prison term, any business engaged in political discrimination. And as part of that political discrimination, any company that openly, you know, has admitted that their hiring practices are based off of, you know, race, genitalia, you know, even though they call it diversity and inclusion, if they're basing it off of that, they will be taken to court for violating anti-discrimination laws, because they have predetermined that the only acceptable candidates have this skin color or that genitalia or this sexual preference. That is illegal. In fact, if you're an employee, you know, of a company that does that, and they end up firing you. I would go through and sue the crap out of them, out of that business, for discrimination. They have made it clear that, you know, who it is that they are promoting, who they are denying opportunities to. And based off of that, you could argue that your firing was potentially a way of clearing out space for them to replace you based off of skin color. So go ahead and sue the crap out of them for that. Furthermore, to take away the Democrats' ability to engage in outright terrorism, let them know that if they're engaging in politically motivated violence, they will be prosecuted on federal charges. You know, politically motivated violence is the legal definition of terrorism. So anybody going out there attacking election volunteers because they don't like who they're volunteering for, you know, such as, you know, if a Republican canvasser is going around, or a Republican election worker is going around doing polling or trying to encourage people to vote, and they're being attacked for that, the attacker should and will be prosecuted, should be the message. If they go out and engage in rioting, burning down buildings and so forth, let them know that such actions will be deemed terrorism, which makes it a federal crime, federal jurisdiction, and that they will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Being able to go through and take away the left's ability to engage in politically motivated violence as a means of silencing their opposition will not in any way, shape, or form be tolerated. And you can tell them that upon election, their prosecution for domestic terrorism, it will be guaranteed, and they can take that to the bank. You know, use words, not violence. Now, of course, the left will try and say words are violence. And then they also say silence is violence. But how we're going to go through is physical violence are acts of property destruction for politically motivated reasons. That will be prosecuted with no exceptions. You know, anyone caught on video engaging in such will be prosecuted. All right, let them know that there will be severe, hefty consequences. Now, people going off and trying to dox other people online, you know, we should definitely, you know, make severe criminal penalties for doxing. Or, you know, people who go out there and, you know, find out where someone who posts something that they don't like works at and tries to target them and get them fired just because they don't like the political speech. That should be criminalized as well. No one should ever have to worry about being fired for exercising their First Amendment rights outside of work, off of company time, on their own personal time. They should not have to worry about being fired or losing their jobs for exercising their First Amendment. And those who try to engage in pressure campaigns in order to get someone fired just because they didn't like what he said on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere else, that should be outlawed and have criminal penalties to it as well. And so, yeah, if I were to break down the basics of all of this, I would break it down to this point. We take a look at everything that the Democrats do to censor information, propagandize the nation, and engage in slander and intimidation. And we need to make sure that they know right from the get-go that those actions will be prosecuted. We will file lawsuits. There will be hefty financial penalties that will be going out and providing monetary incentives for whistleblowers. So anybody and everybody that they work with could potentially be looking to betray them for a big cash payout. We got to make sure that we put major disruption in their ability to coordinate their attacks on democracy and their attempts to propagandize and gaslight the nation. Those are things that we really need to target and work on. All right. If I were to go through and, you know, point this out as well, we need to be saying this agenda, saying these things from the very get-go of the election cycle. Now, in 2020, you know, there was attempts afterwards to get information, to financially incentivize whistleblowers to come forth about election fraud. The problem was the election was already over. Anybody who had, you know, access to election data and election information and the Democrats' election fraud operation, well, their access was already ended. They couldn't go back in. They didn't know that they could have been gathering up all that evidence over all this time and then have a reward at the end of the election cycle. And so while they may have known about election fraud and may have come across the evidence, they didn't keep it because they didn't know. But by pointing this out at the very beginning, including the whistleblower fund for financial incentives of exposing these criminal activities, as well as within government agencies saying that those who collect the most evidence of criminal activity will not only get the bonus, but get the promotion to fill that person's spot, pointing that out from the very beginning, well, they have the next 2 years of the next election cycle to be gathering all the evidence that they need. And that is the beauty of it. The Democrats won't be able to trust anybody that they need to pull off their criminal activities. All right. Now, maybe you have other suggestions, and I would love to hear them. You know, so you can go ahead and get a discussion going in the comments below. I'm starting to post a little bit more to Twitter, just trying to see how much, whether or not there's a whole lot of difference since Elon Musk took over, which, by the way, the Democrats are freaking out so much that now they're trying to say, well, you know, maybe we should investigate Elon Musk's Twitter's deal as a national security threat. You know, they'll do and try anything. You know, how dare you try to make Twitter a free speech platform? We're now going to harass and intimidate you until you bow down to censorship. It is unbelievable. Of course, this is also Biden saying that he's going to do everything he can to enact a federal ban on assault weapons. Now, as long as the Republicans take at least one chamber of Congress, you know, whether that's the House, Senate, or both, that will never happen. But, he's going to try, I get it, and he's going to try and, you know, basically rewrite the laws or, you know, creative reinterpretation to do it. But you can see that the Democrats are not being deterred in any way, shape, or form from continuing on the authoritarian march and following the authoritarian playbook, which is disarm the people, censor what they can say, what they're allowed to think and believe, try to criminalize any voice of opposition. It is just, you know, it's beyond the pale. And so we need to make sure right from the get-go that everyone knows that there will be huge criminal penalties for illegal behavior, that legal immunity will be removed, that they will be sued up the wazoo by us, you know, especially when we're talking about the public schools and certain institutions, and that everybody and anybody in their work environment, you know, can't be trusted anymore, as there would be a financial incentive to sell them out, to expose their corruption. And to keep the corruption from coming back, maybe we should write into the laws that any lawsuits that result from information exposed by whistleblowers, that any financial or monetary reward from the lawsuits, a percentage of that would go to the whistleblowers. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Whatever social media platform you're on, whether that be, you know, Facebook and Twitter, which I would say you probably shouldn't be using Facebook, because if you're using Facebook, you're funding the left's ability to attack our rights and freedoms. But, or if you're using Parler, Getter, Gab, Minds, Truth Social, comment down below and get a discussion on ideas that you have in which we can make it clear what the consequences would be if these institutions continue acting the way they are in order to try and influence the outcome of the election, try to gaslight and basically, you know, engage in fraud. Especially any other ideas that you have on what we can do to combat the schools becoming indoctrination camps. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back again next week.